consumers have never been more aware that they're being marketed to.
True.
And, and on the surface, you might either go, what does that mean? Or you might go, no shit, but here's what the, if you really understand that, then you understand that you have to get on their terms and be relatable and tell it through the lens or something that's going to resonate. And look, at the end of the day, you're selling a product, you're selling a service. So yeah. I don't want to like overstate this. It's not, I think sometimes people get a little too romanticized in the brand and consumer relationship. Like it's still a transaction. So I don't want to overstate it, but I do think the brands that are willing to take it a level further than service benefit, service price, offer benefit, offer price. Consumers do and are willing to have a more intertwined relationships with the brands that they buy from. And they do consider purchases more than they have in the past, because I think they can kind of see, smell, and sniff when it's not a two-way street of value that's going back and forth. And I think consumers have more expectations now.
Hey, this is a quick shout out from one of our awesome sponsors. Check this out.
Thank you to Tracy down at Tranquil Turn Massage in downtown Coeur d'Alene. Look, my wife and I, we see Tracy and her team every single month for a couples massage, and it is the best thing. Tracy is a master massage specialist and a Hanu Ashiatsu trainer. You need to reach out to Tracy and her team. Make sure that you tell them that I sent you, and you'll get $25 off your next massage. Also, while you're there, check out CDA Brows, Body, and Ink. Make sure to tell Tracy that I sent you, and you'll save $100 on your next tattoo brows and plasma tightening services.
Ryan, you're a husband, you're a father, you're the founder of The Radical Agency, host of the number one marketing podcast on Apple with Radcast, your speaker, coach, so much more, man. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Hey, Eric. Appreciate coming on and happy to be here.
Yeah, dude. I like to kick the show off by going back a bit. You were born and raised out in South Carolina. What was childhood like for you?
Yeah. I don't know. Southern roots, Southern values. Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. It was a quieter time.
Sure.
You know, it was a simpler time growing up. Yeah. I don't know. I grew up, lower middle class and, didn't want for anything, or I didn't need for anything, but maybe didn't get everything I wanted. But yeah. It was good, man. I had two entrepreneurial parents that also worked 9-to-5 jobs. And so definitely the product of two entrepreneurs and probably born to be a marketer.
Come on. Oh, that's awesome, man. I mean, you've worked with so many huge brands. I mean, you're the guy who pitched Verizon on the Can You Hear Me Now? And now you have this 8-figure marketing campaign or agency there. What's been the hardest lesson that you've learned through the journey, though?
You know, I think it's like appreciating the moment. And, you know, you hear people all the time, Eric, say like the journey's everything, and I think for some of us, like, especially when you're growing up and you're watching that, you're like, oh, it's easy for you to say that, but I don't know, man. I think learning to scale is one of the hardest things with growing business in general.
Yeah.
And one thing I'm able to hand off tasks and not micromanage it. But at the same time, I don't think the skill set that you individually have that it takes to be successful at the first level is necessarily the exact skill set needed to 5X, 10X. And so surrounding yourself with people and or obtaining knowledge with which to scale, I think is vitally important and probably one of the biggest learning lessons I've had to do the last 10 years.
Man, so good. It's so important to have those mentors and coaches in your life and surrounding yourself with people that are, living the life that you want to live and also the way that you want to live your life, right? Because I think there's people that can live that life but not morally be there, right?
That's right. I mean, and look, I'll come out and say it, and I wouldn't call myself maybe unmoral. I don't know who the judge was. I was a criminal.
Yeah.
But I spent had a lot of successful career years that were very unsuccessful personal years.
Mm.
So I was very successful early in my career working with large brands, sitting on the floor of, CEO suites when I'm 20, 6-7 years old because I was smart. I mean, and witty and charming, and I had a lot of success like at work, but I don't feel like I had a lot of personal fulfillment because I didn't really know how to blend the work. It's not even, I hate saying work-life balance. It wasn't necessarily the balance of work and life, but maybe I don't think I knew how to be a good friend, a good husband, a good boyfriend. I was good at work. I'm not sure I was good at anything else.
Man, I had a conversation with a friend of mine, Kelly Cardenas, out on the beach in San Diego. We were at an event together. And I remember this is a few years back, and I just wanted so badly to be this full-time entrepreneur. And so we're sitting on the beach, and you know, I was like, dude, I just want to be this full-time entrepreneur. And he goes, Eric, of all the people that are at this event, there's 50 or so. He goes, they're all great entrepreneurs, but how many of them have great marriages? And it just like hit me. I was like, damn, I got my priorities wrong right now.
Yeah, man. I mean, I went through a divorce, and it was pretty much all me. I didn't marry the right person for me. And my ex would say that now we're actually fairly close, good relationship. My wife and her get along, like great. So it wasn't probably going to work out anyway, but I sure as hell didn't help it. And then now having been with my wife for 10 years and married for 8, everything's different. I grew as a man and as a person and understanding. I grew up knowing how to make myself happy, but I had to learn how to make others happy. Once I did that, you unlock that shit. I get a lot happier when I make other people happy than just myself. And that was a hard thing to learn. But now I'm blessed, and you know, I like to think I got it good at home and good at work.
Yeah. Come on. I've been married for 19 years this year, and it's been an interesting journey. I mean, not every year is rainbows and sunshine, right? It's all about communication and getting through it. And I had to realize and learn, I got to put my wife and kids first a lot of times, man. And that's what really has helped, I think, the marriage for sure.
Oh yeah. And I mean, we have 4 boys. So I mean, I'm in a game. We had 6 games this past weekend.
Oh geez.
All of them played basketball. We had a couple makeup games. So we had 1 Friday night and like 5 on Saturday. We finished up at the gym at like 4:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, geez.
I mean, I love it. We love it. It's just what you do. And, you know, we're blessed to do it.
Yep. Yeah. We're getting ready to start baseball, and I've coached my son's baseball for the last 5 out of 6 years. And so winter camp starts this weekend, and then it's going to be 3 days a week of practices and games. And it's about to get crazy in our household up here.
Exactly. Yep. But, you know, a lot of people would kill for having kids and blessed with health and all those things. So
I want to get into your Private Radical Family newsletter. I signed up. Everyone else should be as well. When folks sign up for this, like what can they expect? What kind of knowledge are you dropping in there?
Yeah, I mean, I've tried to make it different. It's definitely through my voice. I call it part knowledge, part fun, part irreverence, but a lot of personal branding, marketing. I think if you're, whether you're a business, because again, I come from working with big companies and all that, whether you're a business or someone trying to grow their personal brand, or someone trying to get into podcasting, I think there's some themes that resonate. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just trying to share perspective through the lens of a entrepreneur that owns 4 companies, a learning lesson from that day. It might cross the boundaries of things, but I think if you're wanting, but it's all through the thread of marketing on some level, like brand awareness and creating energy and like different like consumer behavior. Like there's definitely the thread of that, but I do think, and I've gotten a lot of feedback, that it kind of crosses a few different threads. But I think the goal is just to add value and you know, to help people through whatever journey they might be on.
Yeah, it's so good. And you offer a free guide on your website about, and one of the topics you cover is how brands are turning their kind of ordinary moments into captivating stories. How important is storytelling when it comes to personally branding, and where's a like step one for someone to get into that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's vitally important. I say this a lot, and you'll hear this in my content, and consumers have never been more aware that they're being marketed to.
True.
And you know, and on the surface, you might either go, what does that mean? Or you might go, no shit, you know, but here's what the, if you really understand that, then you understand that you have to get on their terms and be relatable and tell it through the lens or something that's going to resonate. And look, at the end of the day, you're selling a product, you're selling a service. Yeah. So I don't want to like overstate this. It's not, I think sometimes people get a little too romanticized in the brand and consumer relate. Like, it's still a transaction. So I don't want to overstate it, but I do think the brands that are willing to take it a level further than service benefit, service price, offer benefit, offer price, consumers do and are willing to have a more intertwined relationships with the brands that they buy from. And they do consider purchases more than they have in the past, because I think they can kind of see, smell, and sniff when it's not a two-way street of value that's going back and forth. And I think consumers have more expectations now.
Yeah, it's huge. And especially I think in the world of reviews, I know that, you know, my wife and I, we shop on Amazon all the time. And the first thing we're looking at is those reviews. Like, is there items that are broken? And we're going to skip right over it if that's the case, you know? So it's so huge.
But there's a lot of information out there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of options out there. So if you can create an emotional connection with your customers, you have a lot better chance of winning. And that's where marketing kind of comes in. It's about storytelling.
Yeah.
But it's really about understanding current perception is at a certain place. And marketing is trying to take that person from a current place to the present place that you want them to be at. There's always a current state and a desired state. And a great marketing moves that consumer from one to the other. Mm-hmm. And storytelling creates a more direct connection from those two places. But it's done through the lens of an insight, and that's marketing strategy. And that's what's lost today. And so if there's anything that gets up my hair faster than anything, is a lack of understanding that there's strategy involved here. This everyone thinks they can do marketing, but the marketing that works understands insights, consumer behavior, and how you take people through that journey.
Huge. Absolutely. Just right there. Like, people need to just pause right there and rewind and go back and listen to that again. Cause that's awesome, man.
Newsflash, your coffee sucks. Here's why. Big brands rely on bulk roasting, which compromises the quality of the coffee. Blackout Coffee is handcrafted in small batches, and it's roasted just 2 to 3 days before it ships to you. The so-called big brands out there are not even serious about American values. Blackout Coffee is all about duty, family, values, rights. They are true patriots who are endorsed by Dan Bongino, The Benny Show, and many more. So ditch the basic coffee and get ready to engage in your battles with Blackout Coffee today.
You have one of the best podcasts in the world. People need to listen to this thing. It's Radcast. You've done 350 plus episodes, over a million downloads a month. I mean, a lot of people are wanting to get into podcasting. They think it's easy, and then they end up quitting. A couple questions. Why do you think your show has been so successful? And for someone trying to get into podcasting, where should they start?
I'll start at the beginning of that question.
Yeah.
Pure grit.
Come on.
So
true.
You know, which is one of my favorite attributes in people.
Yeah.
And I have a little bit of it myself, or stubbornness. But look, I've been doing it for 6 years. I've been disciplined about it. I didn't let or even look at a data point until like month 8. Like, I swear, I mean it. Because, you know, 6 years ago, it was certainly podcasts were around and starting to pick up steam. But it was a little early on that growth. I mean, that it really escalated the last, you know, 4 years with COVID and a lot of other things. But I just said, I believe in this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to create discipline, and no matter how I feel or what I think, I'm just going to keep doing it. Yep. And I did that. And that alone, if you build it, doesn't mean they will come.
True.
I did once, you know, 8-12 months in, you know, start to look at the data, and it was okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we weren't ranking, but we had hundreds and or thousands, you know, a few thousand dollars, something very generally respectable for a startup show.
Sure.
But I knew I had the discipline, but I said, all right, you know, like eating my own dog food, as I like to say, like taking my own advice. Like, what would you have? I have to go bigger and be bigger. I have to reflect what I expect. Here's what I mean by that. I need the show to look, feel, sound, act way bigger than it is. And it wasn't because I was faking it till you make it. Look, I had 16, 17 years of big brand marketing knowledge. It wasn't, you know, any faking, but it was time to go bigger, bigger production, better sound, bigger guests, stop playing small ball.
Yep.
And that unlocked where we are today, the trajectory of that, and doubling down on that strategy, going big with guests, tapping into my broader network. And then from there, look, you get better at things over time, especially if you're trying to. You know, I was critical. I was like, you know, and I'm still critical today. Like, is this interesting? You know, like, is this good? Am I asking the right questions? And I got better. And so did the show. But we made a real commitment to going big. 2 shows a week, no questions asked, the last 4 years. And yeah, we're number one in marketing and business on Apple. We're climbing the charts on Spotify. And we've really created the blueprint for it. And I can talk about that, but I'll let you follow up.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's huge, man. I think podcasting, I started in 2017 and I had no idea what I was doing. My first show was an MMA show. I was just interviewing MMA fighters. And I launched this show in 2019 and been blessed to speak with Ed Milet and, you know, Brad Lee and all those guys pretty early on. And then we just kind of took it from there. And I see so many people start a podcast and they quit, and they just have these unrealistic expectations. Like, I'm going to have 1 million downloads. You know, like you, when I first started, I didn't look at my numbers for probably 4 years in. I was like, yeah, this is what it is. I just love talking with people. So I always want to get in there and chat. With your blueprint, like what's the steps that you walk people through?
Yeah. So we've reverse engineered our success from the last like 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so we're telling people, you know, we've started the Radcast Network now. Yep. So we just started this month. We've added 6 shows, I think, already. Goal is 50 to 100 this year. And what we've done is we've distilled and built the strategy for how to build a show that's not a hobby, but a business that generates revenue, that monetizes, and that wants to be a part of a network that is going to be the future of podcasting, leveraging the power of audio and video and understanding what it takes to leverage and build shows through both of those channels congruently. But ultimately helping people show content. You know, there's 1 million, you know, people producing shows or helping you get guests, or like there's all these ancillary services. And there are some companies that are doing maybe all of those services, but few are building the strategies, the framework, and understand how to build funnels, how to build multiple revenue streams from their show, and how to think of their show as a business. And so we're packaging all of that together, from production services to guest management to funnels to everything, to really, you know, double your downloads in 3 months and monetize within 6.
Come on. That's huge, man. If people aren't taking advantage of that, man, they're missing out.
It's been an easy sell. We started selling it yet. Like, I'm talking about it and we're building out more of our direct funnels for that. But just the, you know, a couple of phone calls of, hey, you should get on this. And, you know, some partners that we already had are jumping in. And so, you know, we're just looking for either maybe you started a podcast and you're ready to take it to the next level and you're committed to it and you want to invest in it. Or you're a company or a person that's wanting to start, but wants to start from the right place with someone. Yep. And look, we're the only network that's built a number one show is the credibility backing the strategies that we have. So,
yeah.
You know, it's proof in the pudding. It's kind of like, I joke in the agency business, I love the social media agency that has 17 followers and is posted 3 times ever.
Oh, I love when those guys DM me.
You know, and it's like, okay, you haven't even done it for yourself, but you're the specialist. I'm like, you know, come on.
Yeah. So funny. I want to get into your Radical Authority Accelerator. This is awesome, by the way. I was looking at it. It includes 1 day experience with you on your show, tons more. Can you deep dive into what that's all about?
Yeah. We get over 200 requests now a month for people that want to come on the Radcast.
Wow.
And just a quick show note, that show is changing because the Radcast Network is going to be the umbrella. My show is changing to call Right About Now with Ryan Alford.
Okay.
Daily show starting in the next 30 to 60 days. So the Radcast podcast will become Right About Now with Ryan Alford. So nice. The Radical Authority Accelerator, we get 200 plus requests. So we can't get everyone that wants to come on the show. Sometimes it's not a fit, all those things. We also have an agency and we can build content. So we've built a one-day experience where executives or someone that maybe is trying to get their personal brand or get their book or get something out there or has a reason that they need content, they also want the exposure of our show. So they get to the top of the list, they shortcut everything else. While they come here, I'll spend an hour with them, giving them, you know, 22 years of consulting experience. We'll talk about whatever you want. But then my team will film additional content plus show content. So it's a one day. I mean, you'll get 6 months plus of content for your personal brand or your business in that one day, while also getting featured on the Radcast, soon to be Right About Now.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's huge, dude. Huge. In the world of entrepreneurship, the whole morning routine thing always comes up. But I'm more interested, like, what's your nightly routine that helps you set up the day for the next day?
Yeah, I mean, I get with four boys, it's very specific to them.
Yeah, yeah.
But after I'm on my laptop or my cell phone, you know, my wife and I will talk about the day or do stuff and, you know, different things that are going on. And then we used to watch shows and series, but we haven't really made time for that anymore. It's like, I'll sit there and maybe have a game in the background while I'm mapping out my calendar and emails like for the next day, setting reminders, you know, for certain things. But I probably do the most work like 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on my phone or laptop, and then 9 p.m. to 11, I actually have downtime and I can truly sit there and do things, because it seems like I'm, you know, between shows and other things, I'm kind of moving or have things that connect that require me not just sitting there. I tell you, I think about thinking.
That's so good, dude. So good. I love to finish the show with a fun question. I'm a big music guy. So what kind of music do you like to listen to, or is there a favorite band that you like?
Yeah, I mean, I have a very diverse music listening. I won a contest in Mexico. They had like, they would play like three beats of like different songs, the most random shit ever. And and I guess more than anyone. Like, I'm from the South, so I'm a country music guy for sure.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, from Pearl Jam to Dave Matthews to AC/DC.
Come on.
I mean, I like old rock and roll. I like Southern rock. And then just about any country these days. You know, some of the newer stuff's gotten a little poppy, but
yeah,
some good, I don't know, Kenny Chesney or... You know, throw on some country music and get me on my houseboat and, you know, have a beer in the hand and I'm happy.
Right. Oh, man. I was basically a pure metalhead growing up. And then I worked for Universal Records for a year. And they're like, hey, you have to actually listen to other types of music, too. And then my first country concert was actually Kenny Chesney. And it flipped the switch for me. I was like, dude, this is awesome, man. So
yes. That's American music right there.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's easy listening and good storytelling.
Yep. Oh, for sure, man. Ryan, thank you so much for taking time out of your day, dude. This was an absolute amazing show. You're an absolute world changer, man. I'm excited for your new podcast coming up, The Daily Show. Man, it's going to be so good. Thank you for taking time out of the day, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate you having me on. Let's stay in touch.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for checking out the show today. I really appreciate it. I hope that my guest was able to bring you some amazing wisdom and knowledge to help you continue to fight for your goals, your dreams, and your purpose. If you could do me one big favor and just hit that subscribe button, I would so appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time. Keep changing the world. I believe in you. Have an amazing day.